How's can you hear me back there? And are we streaming at all? We are streaming. Okay.
Hello.
There we are.
Okay. So I'm not going to repeat everything, so I worked at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, did the pesticide applicator licensing, served on the Dakota County Soil and Water Conservation District Board, and have been working here since being elected in 2004. Look forward to working with everyone here. We have a new committee, a very new and mixed committee, so we are going to be able to get a lot of stuff done. I'll go to Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi, everyone. I'm the vice chair for this committee. My name is Sydney Jordan. I represent District 60A, which is Northeast Minneapolis and Southeast Como. This is my second year on the committee.
Representative Heintzman.
Yeah, Josh Heintzman. I represent the Brainerd Lakes area. I am the lead for the GOP. Have been in that role for 2 years. This will be my third year. Have been on the committee 8 years. And back home, I am a local business guy, do some log services, have some timber and other business-related interests. And when started getting more involved in local government, I was a watershed district manager and worked in a few other capacities as well prior to coming to the legislature.
Welcome. Representative Brand.
Hello, everyone. Representative Jeff Brand from St. Peter. I represent portions of Blue Earth County, Le Sueur County, and every inch of Nicollet County. I have a previous background in small business. We deal with native plants, and this is my second term.
Great. Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Burkle, representing Northwest Minnesota District 1A. That'd be Roseau, Kitson, Marshall, and all of Pennington County. Second term here, first committee hearing in person. This is new. Turkey producer by trade, fourth generation, and I've spent most of my time on the last 2 years on the Ag Committee, but my first term on the Environment Committee.
Representative Adelson.
Heather Edelson, it's my first time on this committee. Ooh, that was close to the microphone. I represent Edina, and I also have a portion of Bloomington now, so excited to be here.
Representative Finke.
Lee Finke, can you hear me?
Yep.
I don't know how it sounds, so. Thank you, Chair Hansen. I'm Lee Finke. I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota, representing St. Paul, Falcon Heights, Roseville, and Lauderdale. This is my first committee hearing ever, so grateful to be here.
Representative Fisher.
Good afternoon, Representative Peter Fisher. I'm from District 44A, which is all of Little Canada, the northern part of Maplewood, and the northern part of North St. Paul. I was first elected in 2012 and have been serving on this committee since I was first elected.
Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I represent District 17A, which is a portion of Wright County, Meeker County, McLeod County, and a little sliver of Sibley County. I've served for 6 years on a city council and did a lot of policy work on different committees. Very interested, lots of lakes out where we live. We own a manufacturing company that provides piers, docks, and boat lifts for the water all throughout the Midwest and up into Canada. So. Happy to be here.
Representative Jacob.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. So my district, District 20B, kind of between Rochester and Winona area. Fourth generation family farmer, and yesterday I started the day as a county commissioner, and once I was sworn in here, I became House of Representatives, and so I left my job as county commissioner just yesterday. And I've served on Whitewater Joint Powers Board, liaison to the Soil and Water Conservation District down in Winona County, Planning Commission, and I've really specialized in a lot of land use issues down there. So, thank you.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Fu Lee from District 59A, which is North Minneapolis. Fourth term of the legislature, but this is my third term serving on the committee. I'm really excited to be back. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Representative Lislegard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dave Lislegard, Iron Range, third term.
Representative Purcell.
Hi there, Representative Christy Purcell. I represent 58A, which is Northfield, Dundas, Lonsdale, north half of New Prague, married to a recovering farmer.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Isaac Schultz. I represent House District 10B in central Minnesota, where I grew up picking rocks and baling hay on my family's farm. And our family business is an auction business, auction and real estate business, so proud to be an auctioneer and excited to serve on this committee. In the past, I've also had the chance to serve as staff here in the House of Representatives, as well as serving the 8th Congressional District as the district director. Thank you.
Now, is it Representative Scraven?
Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Roger Scraba, Slovenian, 100% from the great country of Slovenia. I represent District 3A. It is the largest physical district in the state. Goes from Lake Superior to the other side of Rainy River, almost into the Lake of the Woods, and from International Falls, Canadian border to Two Harbors. It includes Cook County, Cooch County, Lake County, Itasca County, and St. Louis County. a lot of the natural resources that we protect and we use and we maintain are in this district. So I look forward to working with all of you to keep what we have, because it is truly special. Thank you.
Representative Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Samantha Vang. I represent the Brooklands 38B and my first time on the committee.
And we have staff, Ms. Taylor, Nonpartisan House Research.
Yeah, Janelle Taylor with Nonpartisan Research. I cover environment and natural resource issues, and then also staff the Legacy Committee.
And before I go to Mr. Hagemeyer, so maybe we have so many new people. I'll describe what Nonpartisan Research does.
Well, our office will help you with drafting both bills and amendments. We also will provide bill summaries of the bills that are heard in committee, or those upon request if you want one. And we're just available to help you research anything, or if you have questions about a bill coming up or any drafting needs.
Mr. Hagemeyer.
Mr. Chair, I'm Brad Hagemeyer with the Nonpartisan House Fiscal Analysis Department, also covering the Environment and Natural Resources area and the Legacy Amendment area.
Ms. Taylor and Mr. Hagemeyer are very good. Use them. They are very helpful, and I would encourage you to make use of their time. Mr. Strohmeyer.
Hi, I'm Peter Strohmeyer. I'm the committee administrator.
Mr. O'Neill.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sam O'Neill. I'm the committee legislative assistant.
Ms. Zipko.
Hi, Amy Zipko, GOP Research. This is my 13th year on this committee.
Mr. Smith.
My name is Bennett Smith. I'm the DFL researcher, and I will have been at the House for 10 years on the 8th, but this is my first time on environment.
Welcome, everyone. And we have a House page for today. Tenzin, do you want to introduce yourself?
Tenzin Sion, committee page of the Sacramento House. Thank you, Mr. House Chair.
Thank you. So, members, we actually do have a bill today, and I think looking just at a roadmap for the next couple of weeks, it is taking some time for bills to get drafted and jacketed, but there are a number of bills that have been heard sometimes 2, sometimes 4 years in a row that we would like to start moving forward individually. And some of them have been vetted a lot, but we recognize that we have a lot of new members on the committee from both sides of the aisle. So today we have the lands bill, what's called the lands bill, and this is a bill that usually used to be fairly pro forma. It's DNR proposals for dealing with some riparian lands, and it was held up last year. It actually passed the House, made it into conference committee, and the last time we saw some of you was we passed a conference committee report at 11:59 p.m. to the desk. So it was the last thing that the last legislature did, was approving a conference committee report. Unfortunately, it did not get to the rest of us to vote for, but or against. but it did have the lands bill in it. And so we'd like to consider that kind of on process. What I like to do is if I have a bill in front of the committee, I will hand the gavel over to the vice chair. And now we do it physically rather than on Zoom. And the vice chair will take the gavel and I will go back there and present the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Yep.
Thank you for that. I appreciate somewhat of an introduction to the committee and the process and the roadmap, as you mentioned. Just wondering, we're talking about so many new things here today. Can we expect to hear, as we have traditionally, from agencies and overviews and such as a part of that roadmap? Could you maybe lay that out a little bit?
Yes, so we're working with the Senate. So next Tuesday, we will have a joint hearing with the Senate on Emerald Ash Borer. And that will be in this room at our regular time. We will likely start with some of the smaller agencies with giving presentations. We have a number of accounts in this committee, so we'll probably be doing some overviews and then some bills each day. So if you remember last year, we were processing about 4 bills a day in a committee. I doubt if we'll be doing that this time. It's just going to be more difficult. But we have the zoo. We have, well, maybe I should ask Ms. Taylor, what are our accounts? Or Mr. Hagemeyer, which would be helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That would be helpful to know the jurisdiction of the committee.
Sure. Mr. Chair, I'll try to do this off the top of my head. And they were just posted, I believe, today, the accounts, committee accounts for the committee. Within the funds, different funds, there's a lot of them, but one that we kind of deal with separately is the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. So that bill typically comes through this committee. And then as far as agencies go, you have the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, the Department of Natural Resources, the Board of Water and Soil Resources, the Minnesota Zoo, the Conservation Corps of Minnesota, the Science Museum of Minnesota, and Metropolitan Council Parks, and sometimes some of the water issues fall into our area as well. And I think that's all that we have. In the past, we've had tourism in this committee as well, but it's no longer in this committee jurisdiction.
And we are still having some discussions about tourism. Anything else on? So we'll have the EAB next Tuesday. We will probably have, and when we're jointly meeting with the Senate, we can hear topics, but we cannot take action together. So we will not be able to take votes when we're meeting jointly. So we anticipate, and hopefully, that we would be considering the LCCMR recommendations on the 17th of January, if we get the jackets. But all of that is dependent on processing of jackets and when we get things. So I would encourage you, if you're thinking of bills or have bills from last year, again, back to our nonpartisan staff to start working on it, because it's going to take a little bit of time for things. So that's the timeline a little bit on what we're thinking. Then we'll probably do the larger agencies after we get through the earlier ones. That gives them the opportunity, if there's the budget presentations, that we aren't having to duplicate. But we'd like to do some things with the Senate, and really our only day to do things would be Tuesdays jointly. So it's pretty limited in terms of what we can do jointly. With that, now I guess Representative Jordan will come here. I better bring my reading glasses.
Representative Hanson, are you ready?
Yes.
Well, Representative Hansen, I am disappointed I'm not getting a hockey puck to bang on the table, because that did make a really satisfying sound on Zoom. Happy to have a gavel here. Representative Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. I will move that House File 50 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Representative Hansen, I believe you have the A1 author's amendment. Would you like to move your amendment and please explain it to the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A1 author's amendment was recommended by both nonpartisan staff and the reviser, and then also the DNR. Maybe if Ms. Taylor could just walk through what we had to do. To summarize, because we had passed this, there was a time moved on. This is really a good example of why we need to pass these every year, because when time moves on, we have to go back and correct the language to make it relevant for the current year. Ms. Taylor?
Ms. Taylor.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, the A1 does two things. First, the language you'll see adding a new Section 7. In the underlying bill, there's a Section 23 that repeals some language, and that what it was repealing was a sunset of provisions, so the provision would stay in effect. Well, unfortunately, because we didn't pass anything in 2022, it sunsetted, so the language is no longer there. So what this would do would reinstate that language in statute, since it will be permanent. And then later on in the amendment, you'll see on lines 3.23 and 3.24 is some additional language that the DNR had requested to add to a section on the Fillmore County to expand the types of easements that would be retained.
Representative Hansen moves the A1 amendment to get the bill in the form that he would like. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails and the A1 amendment is adopted. Representative Hansen, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have DNR staff Lori Klein here to speak to the bill.
Ms. Klein.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Lori Klein. I'm an attorney with the Lands and Minerals Division at the DNR. I'll be walking you through the lands bill today. As you know, each year the lands bill typically includes amendments to statutes affecting DNR-administered state land or DNR land transactions, changes to state park or state forest boundaries, an authorization to sell certain riparian lands, to sell lands by private sale, or to sell lands for less than market value. For land sales, DNR coordinates statutory and program requirements to sell land that no longer meets conservation or recreation needs or are isolated from larger management areas or parcels. The lands bill is also typically amended to include tax forfeit land sale provisions proposed by counties, sales of state land administered by agencies other than the DNR, or provisions pertaining to county lands owned in fee title. The lands bill is typically seen as non-controversial, and we strive to maintain that every year, and I believe this one has been non-controversial. These land bills provisions contain provisions initially proposed by DNR last session in early 2022, or that were added via an amendment or proposed to be added by amendment. Some of the provisions were added at the request of counties, including St. Louis County, Goodhue County, and Beltrami County, or other state agencies. Sections 1-3 of the bill pertain to fees that an applicant must pay for an easement across DNR-administered state lands and for the release of an easement held by DNR across someone else's land. Section 1 pertains to easements to the United States, a federally recognized Indian tribe, or the state of Minnesota or its subdivisions. Section 2 pertains to easements to private parties. Section 3 pertains to releases of easements held by the DNR over someone else's land. There are some circumstances where the DNR's land management interests benefit from issuance of or release of an easement. In those circumstances, the DNR would like the flexibility not to have to impose all of the fees required by law on the applicant. The proposed changes in sections 1 to 3 of the bill would give the DNR the flexibility to assume the $2,000 application fee for an easement or an easement release and to assume or waive other fees. The application fee pays for the Division of Lands and Minerals work to process easements and easement release transactions, and the division needs this funding. The amendments in section 1 to 3 would allow the DNR division that benefits from the easement or easement release instead of the applicant to cover the $2,000 application fee. Other fees, such as the market value fee of the easement, could either be assumed by the division benefiting from the easement or easement release or waived. Section 4 of the lands bill amends Minnesota Statute 92.502 to clarify that the 30-year leases of DNR facilities are permitted even if they are not associated with recreational trails. Section 92.502 authorizes 30-year leases for recreational trails and facilities. Section 5 is a provision proposed by counties, which was added into the land bill. The DNR has reviewed this and has no concerns. Section 6 is also a county provision. The DNR has reviewed that one as well and has no concerns about that one. Section 7 adds 11.5 acres to the boundary of Meyer Big Island State Park in Fribourg County. The DNR is pursuing acquisition of approximately 58.5 acres of land lying within the existing state park boundary. The 58.5 acres are directly to the south of the 11.5 acres the DNR is requesting to add to the state park boundary. An owner of the 58.5 acre parcel also owns the 11.5 acre parcel that's being added. He's informed the DNR Division of Parks and Trails that he will not agree to the sale of the 58.5 acre parcel unless the DNR also acquires the 11.5 acre parcel. In order to complete the acquisition of both parcels, we're seeking the boundary change. Section 8 deletes 7,482 acres from the boundary of Cloquet Valley State Forest in St. Louis County. The deleted acres were designated as portions of the Riverland State Forest in St. Louis County in 2021's Omnibus Environment Bill. The lands are also currently within the existing Cloquet Valley State Forest boundary. The proposed deletion clarifies that the lands are only part of Riverland State Forest. Section 9 adds 121.5 acres to the boundaries of Riverland State Forest in St. Louis County. This is a technical change, adding acres that were inadvertently omitted in the 2021 legislation creating the Riverland State Forest. Section 10 is a county provision that authorizes the sale of tax forfeit land in Beltrami County. The DNR has reviewed this and has no concerns with the provision. Section 11 authorizes the public sale of 29.6 acres of surplus riparian state land in Cass County. This land was acquired in 1948 and 1960 and comprises the Agate Rearing Pond AMA. The DNR currently has no legal access to this unit and it is no longer used for fish rearing. While the DNR is still pursuing acquisition of legal access to the parcel, it is seeking legislative approval to sell the parcel in the event that efforts to gain legal access are not successful. Section 12 authorizes the private sale of 0.17 acres of surplus state land in Crow Wing County to resolve an encroachment through the sale of that 0.7 acres to an adjacent owner. Section 13 authorizes the public sale of 9.53 acres of surplus riparian land in Fillmore County. The Division of Forestry identified this parcel for sale because it is small and isolated from other state land. There is no public access, and it is difficult to manage due to its small size and location. The DNR will retain the Harmony Preston Valley State Trail that crosses the parcel and will also retain trout stream easements on the Root River and the Watson Creek, as well as access easements to those trout stream easements. I will note that the access easements language was added via the amendment to the bill. Section 14 is a county provision that authorizes the private sale of 0.33 acres of riparian tax forfeited land in Beltrami County. The county has reviewed this and has no concerns. Section 15 authorizes the private sale of approximately 0.55 acres of surplus riparian state land in Hennepin County to a local unit of government for less than market value. These lands were part of a bequest of lands from the estate of Bruce Dayton to the DNR for the Woodrill Scientific and Natural Area. The 0.55 acres abut Long Lake and are cut off from the remaining portions of the Scientific and Natural Area by East Long Lake Road. The DNR determined that these lands would be better managed by the City of Verano and is seeking authority to convey the lands to the city at no cost. And I just want to correct one error. Section 14 should be Goodhue County. I think I said Beltrami County on that one. I apologize for that. Section 16 authorizes the public sale of 59 acres of surplus riparian land in Itasca County. The 59 acres consist of two separate parcels that comprise the Trout Lake Eagle Wildlife Management Association, Wildlife Management Area. These lands were originally acquired to protect nesting eagles, but eagles are no longer using the nests. These lands are very low hunting value. Section 17 authorizes the private sale of 2 acres of surplus state land in Pine County. This strip of land was originally acquired in 1985 for the Kraft Wildlife Management Area. The strip of land was intended to provide access to that area. However, access was never developed in this location, and the DNR now has legal access and a parking lot at another location at that wildlife management area. The DNR would like to sell this land to an adjoining private landowner. Section 18 is a county provision that authorizes the exchange of lands within 20 government sections within St. Louis County. The DNR has reviewed this and has no concerns. I do understand that someone from St. Louis County is here today and should be able to answer questions on those St. Louis County provisions. Section 19 is also a county provision that authorizes St. Louis County to deposit the proceeds of tax forfeited land sales into a tax forfeited land acquisition trust account and to spend that money to purchase lands for forestry, mineral management, or other environmental service purposes. The DNR has reviewed this one also and has no concerns. Section 20 is also a county provision. This one authorizes St. Louis County to sell one parcel and part of another parcel of certain tax forfeited lands by private sale. The DNR reviewed this provision and has no concerns. Section 21 authorizes the private sale of 0.05 acres of surplus riparian state land in Sherburne County for less than market value. This land is currently part of the Eagle Lake Water Access Site. The sale is proposed to an adjoining private landowner to resolve a trespass. Section 22 is a proposal for a land exchange. This was proposed by the Minnesota National Guard. The National Guard proposes to exchange land that is adjacent to a National Guard maintenance shop with land owned by the City of Rosemont. DNR defers to the National Guard on this issue and takes no position on it. Section 23 was the provision addressed earlier, which is originally drafted as the repeal of the sunset provision relating to St. Louis County authority to sell certain leased lakeshore lots. Via the amendment, the prior language has been reinstated. Thank you. Thank you. And DNR has no concerns about that provision. And that concludes my comments. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Klein. I think we'll continue with testifiers. Next on my list, I have Mr. Greg Bernou, I believe, from the Minnesota County Land Commissioners. Mr. Bernou, please proceed.
Yes, my name is Gregory J. Bernou. I'm the land commissioner for Carlton County. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Association of County Land Commissioners. Thank you, Madam Chair. Today I'm here to just reinforce the commitment of the land commissioners who manage 2.8 million acres of county fee and tax forfeited trust lands across the state of Minnesota. We worked hard last year with the various committees and with the DNR to figure out the language of Section 5 and Section 6 of this bill. The big change for Section 5 is to change lines 711 through 713 to increase the term of our ability to lease tax forfeited lands, mostly for utilities. We were handcuffed at 10 years, $12,000. We would like to move that up to 25 years, $50,000. That falls in line with inflation. This law has not been changed for decades, so we would like that bump up. That also allows utilities such as solar farms, wind generators, and cell phone towers to place these land or facilities on tax forfeited land and make it economical for them to stay there. The 10-year lease language just did not cut it, so we look for that change. Then also on lines 9.4, to lease the lands for conservation easements. These conservation easements could range from something as simple as carbon credits to wetland banking to just plain old conservation easements for long-term ecological services. And that's also the same as line sections 910 through 913, or lines, I'm sorry. Thank you for your work on this. We just want to reemphasize that the land commissioners really are pushing this, and it just doesn't benefit the 15 northern counties that are heavily forested. This actually affects all 87 counties because cell phone tower companies do look at places in Rock County, in Kitson County, where that particular topography does work well for a cell phone tower, and it just happens to be on tax forfeit land. So this benefits all 87 counties of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions from members? Representative Heintzman.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I am just quickly wanting to confirm, maybe it got covered and I missed it, but fiscal note, Representative Hansen.
Representative Hansen.
Hagemeyer.
Mr. Hagemeyer.
Madam Chair, Representative Heintzman, I don't have a current fiscal note on this. Last year we were tracking the revenues at about $1.6 million. I'll request a new fiscal note, and it would have needed a new one based on the amendment anyways, so I'll put in a fiscal note request for it, but it has some revenue. Generically for this bill, if it's a county parcel that's being sold, the revenues are retained by the county, so it doesn't show up on a fiscal note. The revenues you'd be seeing would be for the state-owned properties that are being sold. So I would assume the number is similar, but I'll get a new fiscal note requested for it.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you. I do have one more question.
Proceed.
All right. Representative Hansen, just one last thing here. The A1 amendment was written for St. Louis County. I'm wondering if there's any other counties that would be similarly affected.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Representative Heintzman. Ms. Taylor, it's broad enough where it's...
Ms. Taylor.
Madam Chair, this provision pertains only to St. Louis County and had been before. This is more of a technical amendment for a sunset provision that only applied to St. Louis County in the beginning.
Representative Heintzman.
Yeah, maybe I'll rephrase the question. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, maybe... Maybe there's someone that could answer this. Maybe you need to defer, but is this a situation we could foresee happening again in the future?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hopefully, if we pass a lands bill every year
And I would encourage members, this might be the opportunity to say there will be another lands bill, and members should work with their districts to see if there are lands and work with the county land commissioners to see for the next lands bill. We usually do a notice that goes out. I would say that it sets precedent if we pass this of having to go back and fix something where the clock ran out, but hopefully we wouldn't have to. That's a precedent I don't want to have to use, and I hope we don't have to use that again because we don't pass a lands bill. But it would be precedent setting. I don't think we've done a similar thing with the lands bill, but it'd be precedent. It wouldn't be beyond that. So hopefully we keep passing lands bills annually, and we won't have to worry about it.
Representative Heinzman?
That'll do it for now. Thank you.
Are there further questions from members? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Hansen, closing remarks.
Well, thank you, members, for this. As I mentioned, I'm hopeful that we don't have to redo lands bills, but it is an important thing for folks in their district. And so I would encourage you, again, we'll be getting more information out on this. I would ask for your vote for this. I think it's a good example of trying to catch up and clean up, and it helps out folks in their district. So I would ask for your support, and I would renew my motion.
With that, Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 50, as amended, be re-referred to Ways and Means. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. Representative Hansen, any closing comments before we adjourn as our chair?
Thank you. Good work. It's we have a first bill to Ways and Means, and so we will try to get the schedule out as soon as we can. We have not adopted rules yet, so I think you guys have done a good job of not running wild without rules. But
I had some fun.
I guess we should adjourn before I say that.
Well, with that, we're adjourned.
But we will get rules out to you. They're pretty standard, and any other things that we need you to get. We will try to make sure the postings are on time. We had to, because of the extraordinary nature, get the reviser's number, but House File 50, this is an easy one to remember. With that.
Thank you, members. With that, we're adjourned.